In this special presentation, Israel takes center stage as prophecy moves from scripture to reality. With rising tensions, global alliances, and Third Temple talk, everything is in motion. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. There in the middle is our KRRB expert contributor, Mr. Mark Sutherland. He's been on enough now. Mark, you don't get anything really special anymore because of the fact you're with us a lot, okay? And then we got David Paxton all the way from New York. In all seriousness, we are delighted to have you back, Mark. We really are, because we need that perspective from over there, and you are an expert in the field, and we're happy to have you here, as always, I can tell you.
Well, thank you. Whether I'm an expert, we can discuss, but it's lovely to be with you guys. It's much appreciated. Thank you.
Well, let me tell you now.
Go ahead,
David.
I'm sorry for talking while you're interrupting.
Go ahead, David.
So, this was along the line of the Japhethians. Remember Japheth? And we were talking about them last week. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, who would have thought, you know, the bingo card would have brought up this week, Israel full-on attack on the Persian Empire. Yep. To bring down that, and then the Saudis, Sheba and Dedan actually joining forces with them. I was like, all these Japheth's people. Right after, but we're not doing a Bible study this week. We're going to talk about Israel, and you better bless them, or else you got problems.
Yeah, because this is a special presentation tonight. You know, so we wanted to bring in everybody and really get a good grip on this, because things are happening really quick. And I've read the end of the book, so you guys had better be ready. That's basically all I can say. Mark, I know that you already prayed for us in advance of the show, but I'm going to call on you again, if you don't mind, to pray us into this edition of the Last Christian Radio Show.
I will do. Thanks, J.D. Father, we just come before you. We just thank you for bringing us all together. Thank you so much for all the listeners listening, and we just ask that you will anoint this show. Just give us the words to say. We do not want to give any misdirection, but we just want to speak your words at this incredibly historic time. So we just commit the show to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and again, now the reason for this is because this is what the news is about right now. And, you know, it's almost unbelievable, and I know we cover this from time to time, but I think it's important to say it right here at the top, and that is, how often do you see a daily news cycle taken up completely by one little country the size of New Jersey? You know, I mean, that doesn't happen. You know, if you've got another, name a country, any country, little bitty thing out there somewhere, and if they got it attacked, well, they might make one news cycle, but after that, it's old news, it's history, and we get it out of the way. But if it's Israel, it's 24/7, it's wall to wall, it's day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and millennia after millennia. That's exactly what's happened with Israel over time. So it's important, and it's important because they're God's people. It's the apple of God's eye, and that's the only reason that they're coming into play here, is because the devil don't like it. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Zechariah talks about that. You know, don't stick your finger in his eye.
Yeah.
So it's a big problem. And, you know, Israel really is tiny when you look at it.
Yeah.
And then look at the, I mean, just look at the size of Iran. They took over all the airspace of Iran in like a day.
A day. Yeah. Yeah,
it's like unbelievable.
Does Israel know how to? Do they know how to fight wars that last more than a week? I mean, I'm not saying that in, you know, with Gaza. I know Gaza's a whole different game.
Yeah, that's just them swatting down the mosquitoes.
But you know, you think about, what was it, 1967? I think that was the Six Day War.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and that's not beaten back. You know, like the Houthis or Hamas or Hezbollah or something like that. That's countries coming at you, big ones. okay, coming at you full speed, and they beat them in 6 days and took territory and got Jerusalem back. You know, what are we going to get back this time? You know,
I think it is. I've been seeing stuff, and Mark, you were there, so you can probably attest to this. Everywhere that I look, you see social media, and then I follow some of the Jewish people that are on there that are in Israel, and they're like, oh, there was chaos over here, so we all stopped and parked our cars in the tunnel, and we're all praising the Lord. This is why these things happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's it. Is that what it's like over there, Mark?
I think that, I'm just remembering one conversation I had, that people, if they would not have said that they were using this word religious a number of years ago, have seen the miracles, have seen they know the history, they've been involved with battle. No one, if you are within Israel, you are going to get called up. So if you are over a certain age, if you've been involved with the Lebanon War in 82, or, you know, there'd be people that would be around from 60, you know, maybe just in the 67 war, of course, yes. Then you've got Holocaust survivors. So there is all this history and constantly to talk about. But I think there's a real realization for many that we're seeing miracles and that God is in this. I think, David, you've said a very perceptive thing. Iran is 75 times the size of Israel. It has, I think, 80 million people, right? So 75 times the size. I haven't put that in relation to how big that is in regard to Texas, right? Whether Iran is twice the size of Texas.
I've heard that, they are twice the size.
Yeah, right. Well, we joke about it on the one hand, but I also think, and JD, you know why, it's a good geographical reference of how large it is. So on last Thursday night, suddenly, you know, Israelis have woken up, there's an announcement, and a full bore attack, preemptive strike, had happened on Iran. Now, you make a very important point when you say that within a very short time, they have got command of the air, right, in regard to Iran. So to fly from Israel to the border of Iran, I think, is 1,500 kilometers. To then go to Tehran, maybe another 700 kilometers on that. I haven't done it in miles.
What's that in real distance?
Right. Well, maybe we could try and look it up. But so it's vast distances. But since the 7th of October, David, when you talk about that in regard to the air superiority, is that since the dreadful attack on the 7th of October, and then they have been dealing with Hezbollah, as Hezbollah was firing missiles into the northern part of Israel, which meant that about 80,000 Israelis had to abandon that part of Israel and were in hotels for many, many months. Then we had the Pages incident, mm-hmm, which was incredible because I think someone has pointed out, and I'll share that with you, that the way the way Israel did that, the way Mossad et al. Did that, they might even charged Hezbollah for the Pages. So Hezbollah needed new Pages, so they were provided with that, which is rather ironic. But then over time, Hezbollah has been dealt with. Of course, there's been rockets coming in from the Houthis. The Americans have been firing back at them in that regard as well, etc. So then Iran, of course, was firing ballistic missiles in. We remember last April when they sent in a barrage. Mm. So what I'm saying is since the 7th of October, and Syria, Assad fell as well, we would, as it's been said by people greater than me, no one saw that coming, no one saw the Hezbollah coming, etc. Mm-hmm. And no one saw the fact that I think they've been preparing for this. I mean, listening to other commentators, and I really ask people to tune in to news channels like JNS, who come out of Jerusalem, come out of Israel, who were a brilliant news syndicate. People, you know, follow other people, start learning. But because, as people have said, this, you could say this is about 30 years in the planning, right? And of course, whatever people think about Bibi Netanyahu, he has constantly said Iran is the threat. Let's just go back a bit. In 1981, Israel bombed, took out the nuclear program that was happening in Iraq. Then, if you go to 2007 in Syria, they did the same. And we are dealing with mad mullahs, basically, who are Shia, who believe that if the last drop of Jewish blood, I mean it, this is incredible to get our head around, if the last drop of Jewish blood is then taken, then it brings in the Mahdi, and it's basically the death cult. And if they happen to then blow everyone up in the process, or drop a bomb on Israel that would then blow everyone else up, because we're not talking, there's the potential power. I think if you look at the bombs that were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, mm-hmm. the kind of access in regard to a bomb size that they have is massive, is a thousandfold plus. It's massive. So you can think of the damage that they could do with that and the fallout. So this is their ideology. And Israel turned around and has said, as Bibi said, if we don't go now, we have a chance. We're going. And that, David, that refers back to your brilliant comment in regard to being able to have complete authority in the air. And what is phenomenal is that I believe their jets have been adapted so they can fly longer, you know, mm-hmm. with more fuel and stuff like that. Very sadly, the barrages that Iran has been firing their missiles into civilian areas, where Israel has been working on taking out the Islamic Revolutionary Guard nutbags, all their mm-hmm. All their bases and all the rest. So the way that they have been conducting things is very different. And then, of course, you know, the Iranian regime don't care about the civilians. And the Israelis have been telling the civilians to leave Tehran, who are in Tehran. So we, you know, someone came up with this great meme, David and JED, which says, you know, make Iran Persian again. And this, you know, we need to pray. But we need to be, of course, praying about that. And then the Iranians, there is, I'm not saying there's anything out of turn. Sadly, there has then been damage in Tel Aviv and elsewhere. But I'm not going to sort of dwell on that. But sadly, people have lost their lives.
Well, let's get to this.
Deliberately done that.
I want to get to talking about some things that maybe people have never heard or never put together. The first thing I want to look at here is the fact that this was all brought about by Hamas. They're the ones that decided they were going to go in there and hit the Jews, and they did it. They did a good job of that. They hit them hard.
I think they were pawns of the Iraqi Ayatollah.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything comes back to Iran. But the plan, at least the way I understand it, is that Hamas was going in first, and they were actually stopped a little bit earlier than they thought they'd be stopped. They thought they were going to have a little bit more free time to go in and do mm-hmm. even more damage. Then Hezbollah was going to come in behind them while Israel is occupied with Hamas. Here comes Hezbollah. And then while you're engaging them, then here come the Houthis, and of course it's all controlled by the puppet master in Iran. Mm-hmm. Now, the way this worked out was Hamas went early. They didn't go on mm-hmm. schedule, they went early. So the others were not prepared for that yet. And they also were not prepared for the fact that Israel was going to hit back the way they hit back. With complete, I mean, they went in and, you know, Netanyahu declared war day one, and here we go. We're on it. Hezbollah had to have a little time to regroup, get ready. So did the Houthis. Iran is in freak-out mode about, okay, y'all did this wrong, but, you know, we can still win this and all that. But basically, the way I look at this, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, but the way I look at it is Israel took care of problem one, then problem two, still working on problem three, but they've taken care of it too, to the point that they're not armed the way they were. They're weaker, and Iran made
all the heads of state.
And Iran made one crucial mistake in all of this, is that while they were supplying arms and getting Hamas ready and Hezbollah ready and the Houthis ready and whoever else they got going for them, they forgot to arm themselves. Mm-hmm. They forgot to put together a military for themselves. They had no Air Force to speak of, no Navy to speak of. They've got an army. It's pretty substantial, but you know, you need control of the air in order to win a war, and they forgot about that. So all of a sudden,
they're hubris. They didn't think they need it.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, all of their proxies get killed. Now we're coming after the main course. We're after Iran, and they took them down in a day. And okay. I'm going to play you this one real quick. This is our President Trump. Let's listen to him real quick.
President, what do you say to the Supreme Leader of Iran? Says that they will not
say good luck.
What is the end game?
I say good luck. You know, in other words, I told him it's surrender, unconditional surrender. He said, "Well, what do you? You know, these people are young. Well, what do you say if you know if they're not going to get?" Well, I tell them good luck. In other words, we're going to kick your butt. You know, mm-hmm. into discussion. So you know, you harm an American, you shoot something at an American base, and they're dumb enough to do it. And when they do, they're going to get pounded, and Israel's going to get those bunker buster bombs, and the rest of it's going to be history.
Go on, David.
Yeah, and they're targeted too. I saw where it's like a hole in the wall into mm-hmm. the guy's bedroom,
right.
And the rest of the building was still intact.
Well, you know but what that was, David. You know what that was. That is Mossad.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a mess. You know the pager thing, and you know Mark mentioned it earlier, but. They came up with basically a plan just like that, where they notified these the leaders of the Iranian Guard. Well, I forget what they call it, the IR or something, IRGC mm-hmm. or something like that. Anyway, they got a message to them that all you guys need to meet in this one central location tonight, you know, because we're planning something against Israel. No, that's Mossad telling you to get in that room where they can kill you, and they did it. Mm-hmm. They did it. As soon as those people got in that room, they sent one missile in there, and they took out a bunch of them in one shot, and Iran went, oh, crap. Now what?
I think there's been so much misdirection,
mm-hmm.
We've got to remember, Trump was trying to negotiate with the Iranians in regard to their nuclear program. We go back, mm-hmm. people have got to remember what Obama was doing in regard to that, and Biden mm-hmm. and all the rest. They ended up giving them money. Under the first Trump administration, Iran was on its knees because of the sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
Because the sanctions were lifted, the sanctions have been then put back. They're trying to use that as a tool, but under Biden, they were lifted. The Chinese are buying them, have been buying their oil. They mm-hmm. are the biggest customer, if not the only customer they have. But they were negotiating, and Trump said, but the whole chatter is, you know, maybe he said to Bibi, just give me a chance, give me 60 days. And then on the 61st day, what David said, bang, they do that. So, but the other thing, the incredible thing is that the planning, they then built their own sort of drone launch pad inside Iran. They mm-hmm. were smuggling all these parts. We're not saying anything that is out of step here, because it's out there publicly. But the other big worry was, and it still is that Iran has a lot of ballistic missiles. So a lot of missiles that go up to space and then they then come down. And that is the other threat. It's not just the nuclear bomb, it's the amount of missiles. And it has been talked about that they may have 3,000, they were aiming for 8,000. Mm-hmm. Also, bear this in mind in regard to all the geopolitical links, is that Iran has been manufacturing drones and sending them to Russia in regard to Ukraine. So you've got the axis of Russia, China, Iran. And as David quite rightly said, the mother of all bombs is needed to go to Fordow, which is where you have this nuclear plant buried in the mountains, right, underground. And this is a concern, whether the Israelis could handle it by going in there with personnel is a thought, but I'm not going to explore that anymore. But they are all over Iran, but also we are seeing limited pictures. I mean, I know Elon Musk has tried to or put up Starlink, trying to help them people with that, to then get pictures out, because there is opposition in Iran. And in previously, I think in the Green Revolution, and which we didn't back, then unfortunately, I think in 2022, a young girl who was very much part of protesting against the regime, not wearing a head covering, yeah, and all this kind of thing, and sadly was murdered. And I'll just say this, in that country, for women, even for some of them, you know, they might be arrested just for showing a few bits of hair where they shouldn't have done. It is appalling regime, and people have had enough. The history of how it came about, maybe that's another subject for another show, but they need our prayers in this situation. What Israel have pulled off so far is, as people have said, it's of biblical proportions.
Oh, yeah.
It's historic.
Oh, yeah.
It's historic.
Yeah. Well, let's look. I'm going to put this one up here on screen real quick. Because the Iranian regime is under unprecedented pressure and strain. You look at the external military pressure, the Israeli airstrikes, which are part of this Operation Rising Lion, have inflicted significant damage on Tehran's air defenses, military leadership, nuclear sites, and infrastructure, with hundreds of casualties. Warnings and rhetoric from the Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu calling for a regime change, and exiled Iranian figures like Reza Pahlavi proclaiming the regime is on the brink add to their psychological pressure. And by the way, in the second half of the show, I'm going to play you the comments from this Reza, because he is he's the rightful heir, if there is such a thing over there.
He is the crown prince,
and the son of the Shah, I think. I'm not 100% on that. The U.S. under President Trump is openly supporting Israel and pushing for Iran's unconditional surrender. And of course, the regime is reacting, attempting retaliatory strikes and showing resolve, but it's also struggling visibility to maintain control and morale. And you know, I kind of agree with that, because they can't see what's coming. And you know, if any time that I'm watching them, they don't have too much news coming out of Iran right now. They're trying to put a cover over it as best they can. But whenever you do see them, and you see them shooting at the air,
excuse me,
that's all they're doing. They're just shooting up there and hoping, you know, oh please, Lord, let us hit something, you know, besides of ourselves. And so anyway, Iran's in serious, serious trouble right now. And Israel waited until day 61, right? Wasn't that it?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the 61st day, they, you know, I'm sure Netanyahu was on the phone with President Trump real early saying, okay, well, day 60 was yesterday and you said we could go on 61. So I'm informing you now, we're going today, you know. Now, there was a lot of hype, and Mark, you can comment on this because you were over there, that the United States was not going to help. But my information is that we didn't help as far as actually shooting at anything, but we sure gave them help in a lot of other ways, satellite imagery and that type of thing. Are you up to speed on what was going on there?
I think you might be, when I was there, you might be referencing soon after when, you know, Trump went and did his tour and went to Qatar and all the rest. And let's just remember Qatar, you know, is a bit like Tucker Carlson's new name should be.
Oh, yeah.
Qatalson.
Yeah, right.
We may come to that. That, you know, Trump went out there. Of course, Qatar is one of the big funders of Hamas. All the leaders have been living there on the hog. Now we look back and we realize that there may have been some bait and switch. People in Israel were concerned and going, oh, maybe Trump is not, you know, he's sort of taking the gas off the pedal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's, and all this kind
talk.
Of thing.
Yeah.
But, which is not true at all. Big thing to remember, I think, about Trump, whatever people think about him, he once made a comment and said, Obama, you know, announcing when he's going to leave Iraq or they're going to, you know, what they're actually going to do, what the military actually going to do. And he just thought, that's just absolutely stupid. Why would you flag up what you're actually going to do? So if we remember this mindset of Trump, one of the things I like about him is that he is unpredictable, and I think that's a very good thing for one's enemies. We can, you know, who he surrounds himself by, Peter Thiel and all that lot, is a subject for another day. But if we take this on face value right now, I think there has been some really, really clever bait and switch. Remember Bibi Netanyahu's son, I think, got married last weekend, I think, or unless that was cancelled. No, I think he did get married. So suddenly everyone's thinking, oh, Netanyahu's focusing on that, you know, the family wedding, bloody blah. Mm-hmm. And then it's been reported that as soon after, then they go off to a bunker and stuff like this with other ministers. So there has been so much of this to misdirect, and you said it, JD, where suddenly you have all these Iranian leaders in one room, and then they're all taken out, a total trick.
Yeah, agree.
Go on, David.
Well, we're at the end of this half, so if we're not raptured before the second half, we'll see you guys there.
Yeah.
You have a blessed time. See you in a minute. Bye.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run With Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run With Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams in Texas. On the left-hand side, there's Mr. David Paxton. And right in the middle is Mr. Mark Sutherland. Guys, before we get too deep into this, I said we were going to listen to this Exile Crown Prince, and that's what we're going to do because I don't want to forget about him. Now, obviously, he is speaking in his language, they mute him basically. So just don't think that the guy talking is him because it's not. Okay. So, anyway, let's listen to what he has to say.
My compatriots, the Islamic Republic has reached its end and is falling. Like a frightened rat, Khamenei has gone underground and lost control of events. What has begun is irreversible. The future is bright. And together we will navigate this sharp turn in history. In these difficult days, my heart is with every defenseless citizen who has been harmed and has fallen victim to Khamenei's warmongering and delusions. For years I have tried to spare our homeland the flames of war. The end of the Islamic Republic. It is the end of its 46-year war with the Iranian nation. The regime's machinery of repression is disintegrating. All that is needed is one nationwide uprising to end this nightmare forever. Now is the time to stand, the time to reclaim Iran. All of us, from Bandar Abbas to Bandar Anzali, from Shiraz to Isfahan, from Tabriz to Zahedan, from Mashhad to Ahwaz, from Shahrikord to Kermanshah, come to the streets and bring this regime to its conclusion. Do not worry about the day after the Islamic Republic falls. Iran will not suffer from civil war and instability. We have a plan for Iran's future and its prosperity. We are prepared for the first 100 days after the fall, for the transitional period, and for establishing a national and democratic government by the people of Iran and for the people of Iran. To the military, police, security, and government personnel, many of whom have been sending me messages, I say, do not stand against the Iranian nation to preserve a regime whose collapse has begun and is inevitable. Do not sacrifice yourselves for a decaying system. With the teachers by the side of the nation, stand with the people to save your own lives. Play a historic role in the transition from the Islamic Republic and participate in building Iran's future. A free and prosperous Iran lies ahead of us. May I be with you soon. Long live Iran. Long live the Iranian nation.
Okay. And I got to apologize for the way that the audio was. Believe me, that's not mine. That's theirs. But
going fast,
fast, slow, whatever, you know. But anyway, the point of the thing is that this guy was next in line to be the leader of Iran when the Shah was forced out and the Ayatollahs took over, and now he's right there. I've heard him speak before. I know I have on different shows, but now all of a sudden he's emerging again, and it's because he's got a pretty good idea that he has at least a chance of being the Shah of Iran or president or whatever they want to call him next time around. Anyway, Mark, again, you're over in that area. What do you know about this guy, if anything, and what do you think his chances are of taking over?
He is loved by people. I mean, one thing we've got to understand is that since the Khomeini, etc., then went into Iran in 1979 after the Shah was deposed, or just before that, many Iranians have left, including a personal friend of mine. So he is the Shah's son. He would have links, I'm sure, there that, of course, many don't have. Now, one theory is he would go in to be a unifying voice, and then after that, maybe a short period, maybe a couple of years, settle things down, and then the Iranian people could elect whether they want to carry on with the monarchy head or become a republic. But there are still many, many questions that we have. I mean, the other big thing, the other big point I would like to make quickly, JD, before we pass on to handing to David, is the fact that Israel have unleashed something that needs to be finished, which is to get rid of all the nuclear program of Iran. That is their aim. If regime change comes about, then that's a blessing. If it can come about as peacefully as possible, hallelujah. But the Israeli government, their number one aim is to get rid of the nuclear threat, to get rid of the threat that would seek to kill them all and to wipe them off the face of the earth, along with everyone else. And as the German leader said yesterday, or the last 24 hours, Israel is doing us all a favor. So this is the this is going to be the million-dollar question, because they've got to keep this up. The amount of missiles coming into Israel, the number is decreasing. But we have got to watch this, and we must keep in our prayers China, because China does, as we've said, provides oil, provides other fuel, will provide fuel, etc., for these missiles. So we've got to bear all of those things in mind. There, this could go south, or it could go north, and this is in God's hands, and as well, most importantly, and David, you know, handing it to you, where are we at? Are we looking at Ezekiel 37, 38, 39? What do you think? Where are we at, sir?
Yeah, I mean, they're all there. We talked about the Japhethites, and, you know, the European nations came from down there. The Persians were all there. So Japheth had a lot of different offspring. That's why the Persians are more like Europeans than the Shemites, or, you know, the Jews and the Muslims over there. But you'll see them, they're Arab means mixed. But that's not really the focus. We got to focus on, I think the bigger problem in the church is there's those in the church who are replacement theologists, okay, and hence anti-Semitic. Now, granted, yeah, there's things that happen. And the Jews rejected Christ, because even Jesus himself at the end of Matthew 23 said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would that you have, you know, I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her chickens." We call that the chicken event. But he said, "But you didn't." Okay. But that opened the door for the Gentiles, or the Goyim, or what's called the nations. All right. There's 70 nations that are out there, and then there's Israel. And that's the difference. thing is, God made his promise with Israel, and everything comes through Israel. That doesn't mean they're perfect people. Okay, so we will have this apostasy until the end of the age, but that's what opens the door for the rest of us. So in Genesis 12:3, you know, it's clear as a bell. He's talking to Abraham and his posterity. It says, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And we're talking about that now. What Israel is doing is saving the rest of the world from being nuked. It's as simple as that. So you have to understand God's word. So if you're a Christian and you're going to do this, and then all of a sudden you're going to say, oh, no, well, it's the church. It never says that. It never says that anywhere. Okay, so now we're going to look at, moving on down into Genesis when we get into 12. Where were we? 12:3, and then there's 27:27. He even furthers it. Okay, so Isaac said to Jacob, now we were fine-tuning it. Therefore, God gave thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee and the nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be the one to everyone that cursed thee, and blessed is he that blessed thee. So it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of the blessing of Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone out of his presence of Isaac, and Esau's brother came in from hunting. So being the conniver, he went in and grabbed that blessing. But Abram was like, what just happened? But he clearly said, I cannot remove this blessing. He said, what I said, because he knew it came from the Lord. So even though Abram was kind of on the side of Esau, Abraham at this point, but still the blessing, God made it so that Jacob was going to get it. So you have that to deal with. But let me see here. Numbers 24:9. Remember Balaam?
Yeah.
And so Balaam was trying to, he was paid to curse Israel, but he says, Numbers 24:8, God brings him out of Egypt, which he did. He is for him like the horns of a wild ox, and he will devour the nations who are his adversaries and crush their bones in pieces. So we see that happening. It will shatter him with arrows. He couches, he lies down like a lion. This is where Netanyahu got it, as a lion who dares to rouse him. Okay, blessed is everyone who blesses you, and cursed is everyone who curses you. So Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands again. So we see that he wasn't even able to curse Israel at that point. But the same principle applies. If you bless Israel, you'll be blessed. If you curse Israel, you'll be cursed.
Well, David, let me ask you a question. Do you think that we are in some way seeing a new religious awakening, for lack of a better way of saying it, in Israel? Over all of this,
it will get to that point. That's going to be in Zechariah chapter 12. Let me get over there in a minute. Let me polish these up real quick. Psalm 122:6. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for they prosper that love thee." So if you pray for Jerusalem and Israel, you will prosper. Okay, it's as simple as that. Okay, and then in let me see, in Isaiah 60, it's the nations serving Israel will be preserved. Let's go to Zechariah now. In 2:8, we talked earlier about being the apple of his eye. So that's what he says this. It says, Ho Zion in 2:7, escape, you are living within the daughter of Babylon. So he's telling them to get out of Babylon. So, and where are they fighting? Over there in Babylonianville. For thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory, he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who torches you, or he who touches you, touches the apple of his eye. All right, so this is why we see that. This is the center of God's focus. We say the apple of the eye. Oh, you're the apple of my eye. It means this is where his focus is. He's focusing on you, okay? That's the center of his eye, the apple of his eye, so it's focus on you. And he says, now, here's God focusing on them because they will repent, and he's getting them to repent, and you're over here trying to mess with them. That's going to be a big problem. Because now the Lord's going to come and he's going to touch you in ways you don't want to be touched. And then it's interesting. And then in chapter 12, this is where the big one is. So let me just, I'll read through this. And it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches for, let me read it. And let me get rid of the King James here. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays a foundation of the earth and forms a spirit of man within him. So there's no confusing who this guy is. Okay. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all the people around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all peoples, and all who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. In that day, declares the Lord, I will strike every horse with bewilderment and his rider with madness. We see this happening. I have no clue what's going on, right? But I will watch over the house of Judah, and I will strike every horse of the people with blindness. So they won't even be able to know what they're doing from one person to the next. They'll all be blind. In that day, I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves, so that they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples. While the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. Okay, so Israel is going to be fine dwelling in Jerusalem, but they're going to set fire to everybody around them. The Lord will also save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem will not be magnified above Judah. And in that day, the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And the one who is feeble among them in that day will be like David. And the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. That's how powerful they're going to be. The feeble one's going to be a warrior like King David was. That's how strong they're going to be. And in that day, I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. So you probably shouldn't come against Jerusalem. Just say.
Right. Not a good idea.
I will pour out on the house of David and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit. Now, here's where it gets good. This is where Jerusalem and the house of David, Israel, is going to repent. Okay? And this is what you got to make sure you tell everybody. It specifically says they will repent. If there is no replacement theology, they will repent. If you're putting down Israel, you got some problems because you're calling God a liar. And that's not going to look good when you get to the throne. So you probably want to change that. Says, I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only son. And they will weep bitterly over him, like the bitter weeping of a firstborn. In that day, there will be great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning of Hadramanamanamanaman in the plain of Megiddo. And the Lord and the land will mourn, and every family by itself, and the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, and the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives, and the family of the Levi, and their wives, and the Shemites, and their wives, and all these families. He says, everyone, even as a nation, they're going to repent and they're going to mourn. They're going to be really, really sad that, oh my goodness, that was Jesus. He was the Messiah.
Wow.
And it right down to each individuals of the family. So not even as a whole family, they're all getting together. And then one goes off and, you know, he's playing video games.
It sounds like they all get the message. It sounds like they all get the message no matter where they are. But, you know, they say it's great sadness, but at the same time, there's going to be some great happiness too as they accept Jesus Christ.
Yes, but next it says, in that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem and for sin and impurity. And it will come about on that day, declares the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols from the land, and they will no longer be remembered. So then it goes into, this is the glorious thing that's going to happen to Israel afterwards. Yeah. They're going to repent, folks. Mm-hmm. You better, like, pray for them.
Yeah. For real. All right, Mark, what do you got to add? I know you do.
Well, I think the verse, David, JD, you know, Romans 11, 23 to 25, when it talks about we are grafted in, we're grafted into the root, and what an incredible privilege that is. And to remind everyone, Jesus is a Jew, so anyone who has a bit of a replacement theology-itis needs to get their head around that. Understand Romans 11, 23 to 25. We have been grafted in until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And it does shock me, people's attitude in regard to Israel. They seem to have no understanding of the history of pogroms, recent pogroms. Well, we've just had the worst attack on the Jewish people since the Holocaust, which was the 7th of October, 2023. But they don't understand all the pogroms that had gone on before that in that area, also in Russia. Historically, there was a terrible pogrom that went on in just one of them. There have been a couple that have gone on in England in 1190. So we're talking when they've been when the temple was destroyed by the Romans and they are sent out into other countries, into the diaspora, they are dispersed. The history of pogroms through the centuries is something that people need to research. It's been constant. And then just finally, when we've got all these people on the streets singing from the river to the sea, not knowing what river, what sea, the fact that Qatar has been, and others have been building that up in regard to investment into universities and all the rest, it's all come about. We've suddenly seen this. But these the verses that David is sharing, this is so vital. But as I say, I always come back to Romans 11, 23 to 25. And I am saddened when Christians who also, you know, so much want the truth and they're into conspiracies. Well, they aren't conspiracies because we've all run out because they've all been proven to be true. But the problem is it's not as that when they turn around and say, well, the Jews are running the world. And I'll turn around and go, well, if they're running the media, they're not doing a very good job, are they? They're not doing a very good job. And if they are committing genocide in Gaza, then how come, you know, huge thousands of babies have been born as well? And if they wanted to commit genocide, then the amount of the increase in the population within Gaza would not have gone ahead. They're doing a very, very bad job of that. And to remind ourselves as well that there are 2 million Israeli Arab citizens with full citizens' rights, because they are citizens of Israel, that live within the present Israeli borders. And at the foundation of Israel in 1948, I believe that number was 150,000. So obviously that wonderful people group has also expanded as well. At times, the politics of Israel is extremely complex, but things are changing. And as David said, are they perfect people? No, nor am I. But it's God's land, and the whole of history revolves around that, as we've said about the time clock, and it's taking place now. We are, I believe, in for some very interesting times and some tough times, but we've just got to keep our eyes open on these events.
Yeah, well, I'm going to put it up here on screen here is what to watch closely. An explosion of protest or a unified political opposition movement. Any splits within the IRGC or security apparatus. That's, of course, the IRGC is the army or whatever under the Ayatollah's control. And the regime's capacity to manage, and I don't even know what that word is, David, ameliorate food. I have no idea.
Ameliorate
what
food.
The heck
control.
Does that mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it means control.
Okay. Well, why can't they just put it in normal terms that normal people like me can read? Because I don't know what an ameliorate, whatever.
Well, it's a bigger word. Well, they
yeah. I'm not a like, big oh, word big person, word. David. I'm not a big word person. Okay. Anyway. the regime's capacity to manage or control food, energy, and water crises. They're not doing a very good job of that now, by the way. Continued Israeli or U.S. military actions that might serve as a catalyst for domestic unrest. And I'm hearing more and more people say, you know, this is the time. Get to the streets. Get out there. So anyway, the bottom line here is Iran's regime is under fire, literally and figuratively. It's strained by external strikes, economic collapse, social revolts, and elite fissures. Yet for now, it survives. But that could change, and it could change rapidly. And you know, I'm just wondering: is this the end of the regime as we know it? Best guesses from everybody. I say. I don't know.
I genuinely pray it is without it breaking into civil war.
Yeah.
I pray that it is. The people of Iran deserve to be free from this.
For a little bit. Because, you know, they're part of the Ezekiel 38 Gog Magog war thing, you know, well, at least the country is. So, you know, should we put too much... I don't know if we ought to put too much faith in them taking this over or not.
I hear you, but I would also, other people clever than me, I'd also counter that by saying, keep an eye on Turkey, look at your map, see where Turkey is, look at all the stans that are on the right-hand side there, just underneath and in regard to Russia. And just keep an eye on Turkey, because we know Erdogan's ambitions, which is to bring about the caliphate.
Yes.
However, there is also him turning around and saying that he won't be standing in the next election in regard to Turkey, which I'm not sure when that is.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of mix. There's a lot in the mix there. There really is.
Okay. David, take us out of the show with your final comments here.
Oh, fine. Let's do it. God is good. I know there's cycles here, too. And I wanted to, I think we talked about this last time, Joel, but I wanted Mark to hear this, too, is part of the reason that Islam wants to bring about the destruction of mankind is a couple. First of all, if they destroy Israel, then they, in their minds, then they win, and then they could take over, because that's from the devil. Number two, if they bring nuclear chaos on the world, they can essentially, their goal is to try and cause a causality time loop in which they won't have to face judgment, okay? And there's some quantum level physics for you there. Just look up CERN and all that. But if they can create this loop, you know, on Star Trek, they just go through the same thing over and over and over, then they never have to get to the end, which seems bizarre to us, but they got to try something, right? In the meantime, I could just tell you this, that Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back relatively quickly. He did pay for all of your sins, folks, and there's a contract written in his blood that says it's paid for. And it's very simple. There's no magic words or anything, but you do need to confess them. Okay? You need to believe him in your heart, and you just say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior, and I plead this blood of Christ. So, Lord willing, we will be back next time, and we'll see you guys on the next show. Have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, the Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.